I told her to pray the offering more lively. It shakes the money out of the people's pockets, and they did a good job on that. If you have your Bibles, turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll read some verses. We'll have a word of prayer. We'll talk a little bit about last year, and we'll start begin to talk about this year. And then I'm hoping to take a turn to help us to really, when we see the Bible verse and apply it, to help us really understand what I believe the Lord gave us for a vision for this year. James chapter 4, we're going to start reading at verse number 6. The Bible says this, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." Let's have a word of prayer and get in the lesson for today. Heavenly Father, we need you today, and we just want to openly and loudly voice our excessive need for you. We see our need. There's nothing in the flesh that we can do to change our lives. There's nothing we can buy to make life better. Our life consists of you. You have created us. You have ordained us. Father, we ask that you do a work on our hearts to make us children of God, that people would see us and say, they are like God, or that is what God is like. Bless this service and bless your word, Father. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Last year we had a theme, investing in a blessing. We tried something very unique, and I shouldn't say it was an experiment. It was just following the Bible, but we tried to test a little bit of what the Bible says. Investing in a blessing, the idea behind the theme was to try to invest in things that God loves that doesn't necessarily benefit us. You understand, if I go to Ray and I treat Ray really good and I do a whole bunch for Ray, and Ray goes to my church, one day Ray becomes a multi-billionaire. Well, you know, hey, don't forget me, Ray. You know, now people do, by the way. I'm the one who's buzzing that little thing at the iron gate going, hey, Pastor White. And like, Pastor who? Get lost. No, but there's that could benefit me. If I say, hey, become a member of Skyview Baptist Church, and if you become a member of Skyview Baptist Church, that helps us. You know, when I'm down, there's someone to lift me up, or if you're down, there's someone to lift you up. It benefits us directly. We said this year we want to do something. We're going to make a commitment. This is 2019. We decided we're going to make a commitment. And our commitment is going to be to try to be a blessing, expecting nothing in return, except from God. So try to do it without expecting a person or place to benefit us directly. Let's do something that doesn't benefit us. And if we get any benefit, it has to come from God. So the Lord did some things for us. I've been praying for about 3 years. Lord put it on my heart to pray that the Lord allow us to start a church. I even had a place picked out 3 years ago. I could take you to the spot. I've taken church planters up there and asked for advice, and I've done a lot of things. And the Lord began a process in our church, preparing our church for something like that. And I had it on my heart to start a church, and I asked the Lord to let me start a church. And then God brought Brother Ron Reasoner into the area. He was a missionary to Russia for 25 years. And he didn't expect us. 30 years ago, he started a church in Hillsboro, Oregon, and successful church, going extremely well. And then in the 80s, the Lord called him to Russia. So he went to Russia, and he's been in Russia for 25 years. Wonderful missionary. And by the way, you want to talk about missionary stories. That guy should have been dead 20 times over. It's amazing the stuff that God did, and the miracles, and if you know about the reindeer people and things like that, just incredible things. Everything's going great, and God says, go back to Vancouver, Washington, and start a church. What, Lord? What, Lord? I'm in my 50s. I've been a missionary for 25 years. I've already started a church. And you're telling me to leave this? And he's a man of faith, and he did by faith. He came out here to start a church. And we got to know him. He said, we'd like to help you a little bit. He said, "Well, I'm not going to steal your people. I'm not going to infringe on your area. If you know me, you know that's funny. I don't own you. That means I get to sleep good at night. If you're bad, that's between you and God. You with me? I will preach the word of God, but I don't own you. You're not my people. You're God's people, and we all work together. So if God sends you somewhere, you better go and do a great job for Him. I don't hold people because I don't like you. No, but I kept saying that's not a problem, and then eventually I found out he had a need. He didn't have any money to print tracks. So I said, well, we got some machines here. We can make a track for you. I made a temporary track and printed tracks. Then we said, we're going to go soul winning in your area. He said, well, I can't go. I said, I don't need you. So we know what we're doing. I just want to know if you have a particular area. Well, okay, why don't you come give us a little word? And then he goes, well, I can't go today. I'm really busy. We don't care. It was kind of fun. And the Lord opened the door, and we spent about a third of the year soul winning for another church in town. Now, that doesn't benefit you. In fact, that kind of works against you. You all met Brother Reasoner, and some of you like him more than me. I'm expecting one of these days I'm going to go to his church and be like, what are you doing here? You know, but that doesn't, and as a church, we said, you know what? Let's invest in a blessing. Let's help someone and see what God does. See what God does. We had a chance to go down to Sheridan Baptist Church. Brother McCandless, yes, Larry McCandless. I've only known him for 30 years. Brother Larry McCandless, the pastor retired, didn't name another pastor. And Brother Larry McCandless was a faithful layman. He graduated Bible college with me. And they said, can you stand in and preach and kind of run the church until they get a pastor? He said, well, okay. And immediately the church started growing. And soul winning increased and things started happening. And he said, I'm not called the pastor. And I said, well, can we do this? Can we come help? And I told him this. I said, I'm doing this selfishly. I'm not asking you if you need a handout. I'm telling you our people need to give, and we're going to give to some people who can't do anything in return. So we'd love to go down and help the church. So we went down and had a big day, actually got some people. It was a very successful big day. In fact, one of the people were so excited. We took the folks out soul winning, and Brother Myers taught a lesson on soul winning. And just very simple four things. He said, first, you got to realize you're a, anybody know the answer? Sinner. And when you realize you're a sinner, you got to realize that if you die with that sin in your record, you can't get to. But Jesus died on the cross, and Jesus paid your way to heaven. And who do you need to get you to heaven? And it's not by works, it's not by anything else. The Bible says Jesus is all you need. So what is all you need to get you to heaven? And he taught them that. And they went out and they started winning souls, and people started seeing people saved. A bunch of people got saved. I think it's more than they've seen the whole year. And that one day, and folks were crying. They were so excited. The next Sunday, he taught that Sunday morning, and two of the people they reached at Vacation Bible School went home, witnessed to their sister. Their sister got saved, like 12 and 13, and they brought their sister to church. And everybody in church began soul winning, and the church has just been growing and doing extremely well. Brother McCandless still doesn't. He's the only one that doesn't believe he's called the pastor. His wife does, his dad does, his church does. And I've known him for many, many years. Brother McCandless, I'm like, what? I said, you're the only one that can't hear God. It's time for you to pastor. And we're giving him a bad time, but wonderful, wonderful people. But they didn't pay us anything. We didn't ask for anything. We didn't ask them to return and come up here and go soul winning for us. We had a philosophy. This year, we're going to try to just reach out and give of ourselves and just see what God does. We had a family conference, brought in the Lindsay family. They have more than three kids. Six kids. Or 16 children. No, they didn't adopt. And people always ask them all these questions. And some of you look like you're ready. 16 children. They said, look, Brother Lindsay's a man of God. Wonderful man. Wonderful, wonderful man. A godly man. Him and his wife are very godly and organized parents with 16 kids. At one point, they had 16 kids in a 1,300 square foot home with one bathroom. Yes, these are martyrs for Christ, folks. These are, and wonderful family. And they came up, we had a family conference, and we're teaching on the family. But here's what was key about the conference. It was a blessing. And at the end of the conference, our people said, here's what we're going to do. Individually, we had these rocks. I got one in my office. He came and picked up a stone and said, I'm going to be a blessing to my family if they never bless me back. I'm not going to change if he changes, or I'm not going to change if she changes, or I'm not going to change if they change. I'm going to be the blessing all year long, and if anything happens, it has to come from God. And a lot of people took those and put them up as a symbol to look at. And then here's what was really neat. I don't remember the exact number, but man, we took up a bunch of money and spoiled the family. You understand when you have 16 kids and you go to McDonald's and you say, pick anything off the menu as long as it's the dollar menu. And if you get fancy, pick any two things off the dollar menu. I mean, it's you don't get spoiled often. And we were able to spoil mom and dad and all of the kids, all 16. And they didn't know what to do. They're used to coming, trying to be a blessing to everybody. They came, what do we do? What do we do? And we're like, well, let's go shopping so you can spend some money. Well, what do we do for you? What do we do for you? And as a church, by the way, it's so fun as a pastor. I can't tell you. When people brag about the church, they're not bragging about me. And if you know me, I have the gift of offending. I can say, ma'am, your hair looks nice. What do you mean by that? You think it looked horrible the other way? I don't know how I did it, but I did it. And but what happened is the church, we rallied and just were trying to be a blessing. Do you remember how much money it was? I don't know if it's $3,500. And I'm not saying that to be like, it's just, it wasn't like they were going to send us money back or we're networking or anything like that. We just said, Lord, we're going to be a blessing. We could use the $3,500. You guys understand that, right? We could use it for very important things like, you know, Pastor White's vacation fund or something. But what happened is the church, we made a commitment. We'll be a blessing to everybody who walks in this door. And we began to just reach out and be a blessing. Now, it was kind of fun because, I'm skipping ahead a little bit, but I'm talking with you. Brother Myers and I were sitting down Wednesday, I think it was, and we're talking about what did we do right this year. And you'll see why when you see some of the numbers, some of the things that God did. And we're trying to emulate some of it. And by the way, you want to do that. If you do something right, copy it. You know, if you had a night when you prayed and you really got a hold of God, try to figure out what that recipe was and write it down. Try to be able to do that on purpose. That's a wise thing to do. But as we're looking at that, that Wednesday night, this last Wednesday, when Brother Smith, by the way, nobody believes our names, went to the hotel, said, he's Brother Smith, or he's Mr. Smith, I'm Mr. White. Yeah. If he had dark sunglasses, they would have thought we were CIA. But he said, just mentioned off the side, he said, look, when your church is growing, be careful not to get pride. God just, that was for you, Roman White. He gets to call me Roman White. He doesn't have to call me pastor. And they said, remember, we decided something. We're not going to grow our church. We're going to give ourselves away to help other people. By the way, we're able to help many churches this year who are struggling and have some issues and some problems. Lord sent them our way, and we were able to help many pastors and many churches and be a blessing to them. Last year, we raised funds and took the Reasoner family to help me. Yeah, leadership conference down in San Diego. Flew him to San Diego, took him to the conference. He's just kind of just freshly back into America. I think the church had just started or was getting ready to start, and just was a perfect time. The Lord loved on him. Now stay with me for a minute. In a minute, I'm going to give you some numbers from last year. By the way, it is getting a little hot in here. Are we getting a little hot? That's what I thought. Run the fans for a second, would you, John? Give me a little more volume. There we go. And a little more volume. You got it there? The volume button.
Did you change it? What'd you do, John?
he looks so serious back there. There we go. Get a little airflow. You guys doing okay? You want to get up and do jumping jacks? I can do my Richard Simmons imitation. And who knows who Richard Simmons is? Oh, get right with God. All right, so I'm not doing any Richard Simmons imitation. So last year, we reached out to be a blessing to the men and women of God. We spent our money, raised money. We decided to help start a church, or help start a couple churches in the Philippines. We raised money. We had missions giving campaign. We raised money to be able to get churches started in the Philippines. We helped to start 2 to 3 churches in the Philippines. One's really booming right now in Orion. Pastor Byram, we teamed up at Pastor Byram's church, and we even got rid of some of our people, sent them over there. And I'll talk about that in a second. We'll mention that. But last year, let me talk about a couple of things we did last year. But remember the theme as we talk about these. One, we had our first vacation Bible school. What was the theme? Farm Fresh Faith. That's what it is. Farm Fresh Faith. We were able to reach over 90 children in attendance. Here's what happened, though. We did some things that were very important. We didn't just have a vacation Bible school. It was a training process for our interns. We hired some interns last year. And a lot of times people get the idea, and it's almost this way. The word intern is the last place in America where it's legal to have slave labor. In terms of you come in, you work them to death, you get as much as you can, and send them off back to college and give them a little money for their college bill. But we didn't do that last year. We brought some interns in, and here's what was important. We have a lot of capable people in our church. A lot of people who knew how to do vacation Bible school. We said, this is for the interns. Why? I want you to help train them. By the way, you understand that's backwards? Anybody understand that's backwards? When you bring staff in, they're like superheroes. Hello, I'm the new staff member. I'm highly trained, highly spiritual, and wonderful. And I'm here to train all you people on how to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, when they send you out of Bible college, they make you feel like you have to do that. Do you know how intimidating it is to be married for 2 years? And have a 60-year-old couple who've been married for 40? Can you give me some marriage advice? Sure. What do you need to know? I'll try. And there was an approach the church took that was vital. Here's what they said. We're going to let you guys do vacation Bible school, and you're going to learn it. And we're going to come in and we'll do the jobs and we'll help you with it. But we have a lot of capable people who could jump in and do all the things that you're going to do. But we're going to let you guys run it and learn how to run Vacation Bible School. By the way, it went off wonderfully. They did a great, great job. And everything was done very professionally, which makes it obvious that I did not do it. If I did it, it would involve duct tape, I guarantee you. And proud of it, by the way. And by the way, the duct tape lady is right there. She makes duct tape wallets, duct tape shoes, and made a duct tape skirt one time, right? I did not try on the skirt, though. So if you ever want a duct tape wallet, pay her some money. She can make them. But understand, we did Vacation Bible School. We reached, I have it down here somewhere. I'm trying to see the number of families. We reached several families in Vacation Bible School. And then the people rallied to build the workers, and the thing went off wonderfully, wonderfully. Easter egg hunt, and we had a Saturday and a Sunday Easter egg hunt, and the numbers are on here somewhere. I'm trying to say 69. There's a number here for all the people that came to the Easter egg hunt. It was a huge number of visiting families. I don't want to read through all this. But we had a whole bunch of people come, brand new people come for the Easter egg hunt. Several folks trusted Christ as their Savior. And listen to this. Several families kept coming. We have people who attend here from the Easter egg hunt. We have people who attend here from the Vacation Bible School. We actually reached into the family and not just changed their eternity, but changed their life here on earth. Long term. Now, there's something that I don't know if it's big to you, it's big to me. We put siding on the outside of the church, and siding and windows, and I got a porch for my office door, and we got new gutters and everything. Who was here saw before we put the siding on? Okay, so you know when you pulled up and you were wondering, is this place condemned? And you're wondering, can I go in there? Am I going to fall through the floor? You know, and we said we want to do this without getting into debt, and so. So we tried to work it out, and we came across a lot of obstacles, a lot more obstacles than we originally intended. And we were able to rally as a church and get this done, and our the people just jumped in and worked and worked and worked. And praise the Lord, the people in the community look at this as a nice-looking place. I mean, it's really made a huge, huge difference. Painted the entryway, painted the auditorium, and we've got a new printer, a new one. Praise the Lord. Now, I got to say this special blessing. The Lord just handed us printers. They were all used, but they were good printers, and we've been using them for a year, and we've been able to get by well. We bought this brand new, super nice printer, and it's been really nice to be able to use. It does a lot of really cool things too. It doesn't make coffee though. I've tried to get it to do that. And then we sent two of our own people to missions work. Miss Charisse, we sent her off to the Philippines, saved people's lives in a fire, giant fire over there. The whole section of the city burnt down. There's a section of the city built on bamboo, the poor section of the city. And when that fire got started, how many people died? 28 people died. Major fire, like what we would call our Chicago fire. It was a big deal. And you had just won someone to Christ, if I remember the story right. People started running and screaming. You're figuring out what is it. Instead of running and screaming, they kept grabbing people, going back for more. And the Lord used her in a special way. And then we shipped off Lizzie White, and she's still there. I have a feeling we will never see her again. She has no intention of coming home. In fact, here's what she said, and if you know her parents, you'll understand why she said this. She said, I have never lived better in my life. What does that say about her home? Everybody has missionary stories. I went to a country and I suffered. And she's like, oh, this is so much better than home. I'm never coming back. But she's felt called to the mission field since 9 years old, really. And she kept asking God what this call is. And then she went on one of the missions trips when we went to help start several churches. And something clicked with that girl. And, I mean, she'd walk down the street, and people would just come out of the street and follow her. I mean, people were there, saw what I was talking about. And I remember when they're introducing all the people when we're having our big day, and we had like 500 people there, and we're getting ready to preach to them. And Brother Myers had the children of like 86, I think it was, or something like that, around 100 children over there. And they had some of the workers over there, and they're introducing the workers, and I think they had to say like hi, and hi, Brother Myers. Hi, Miss Julie. And they go, this is, and they pointed it, and they go, Ethe Lizzie. And like, they all knew her. Like, where? Have you been here before? You know, and sort of pick up the language. Unbelievable how quick. And so she gets there, and she says, Dad, she's supposed to be back in February. She's not using her round trip ticket. The last thing she told me was, Dad, I think I need to sell some things. Sorry, Ellen. If you want to see her, you get a plane ticket and fly over there. That's what you're going to have to do. Or get a boat. And yeah, one of the two. And we sent two people off to do missions work. Did a wonderful job. Helped start several churches. Started the King's Kids program. Got that up and running. And who likes the King's Kids program? Say amen. Yes. That is the best babysitting. No, I'm kidding. It's wonderful. And the kids are just loving it. We hired and trained three interns. Look at that. We spent our staff income reserve for that. By the way, I'm not whining about that. That was the best money ever spent. They did a wonderful, wonderful job. But here's what I'm going to point out in a minute. Very important. Our church built them. Now, Christ builds them, but our church rallied around them to build the staff. They invested. Oh, how much money we end up paying out for interns? Do you remember? The church invested $20,000 for the privilege of building people for the work of God. Very important you understand that. Because they were a huge blessing. They did a tremendous job. I think the requirements were have at least six people in the church, have one discipled, something like that. All of them blew that out of the water. They just did a wonderful, wonderful job. But we hired the interns. We invested our time in helping other churches. I sacrificed the men and women of God who came here, helped the Reasoner family, ended up having two incredible conferences that got thrown on us. So stay with me. I'm almost done with this part. We committed ourselves to being a blessing to others. Now watch this. God allowed us to minister to over 200 visitors in the year that we decided to spend our time helping other churches. Out of the 200 visitors, out of the 200 visitors, 26% of those are still attending. 10% of those have joined the church. When you look at that, you know that those numbers are huge. They outgrow any numbers we've had. And here's the interesting part, and here's what's important. We didn't do it. In a moment of silence, we didn't do it. We didn't manufacture it. If it's going to happen again, God's got to do it. But something you got to remember. How did it happen? Does anybody know how it happened? We invested in what God told us to do and let Him take care of the rest. We invested in what God told us to do and we let Him take care of the rest. Who remembers the Spiritual Warfare Conference? Raise your hand. That's good. Brother Myers, do me a favor. Would you just open the back doors and get the fans one more time just for a little bit? I just want to have some oxygen flowing. Spiritual Warfare Conference. Do you know we weren't supposed to have that last year? Do you know that on a Thursday, I was praying, and the Lord just tapped me on the shoulder and said, you need to have Marvin Smith. I was praying for our church. And I said, all right, Lord, I'll have Brother Marvin Smith. Then on Friday, I had a meeting with Brother Myers, and we're going over the church finances. And we're going through everything, and he says, now there's $1,100 in a designated conference fund, and we don't know what it's for. I started laughing. I said, I know what it's for. He said, well, we're supposed to have Brother Marvin Smith, Spiritual Warfare Conference. He said, what's that about? I said, I have no idea. So I wrote Marvin Smith next to the paper. Then Saturday night, 11 o'clock at night, that Saturday night, I get a call from Pastor Byram. He says, never had this happen before. And we don't call each other all the time. We probably should. He's my best friend, I guess, if I have any friends. But he's my best friend, and we don't talk a lot. It's just not our style, I guess. But he said, I need some help. I said, what do you need? Anything. What do you need? He said, well, Brother Marvin Smith's coming Monday. His mom had almost died. In fact, they thought she was going to die. She was on her deathbed. He became the executor. It was a lot bigger story, but it sucked up his time. And he was starting some churches in the Philippines. He's flying back and forth. He was overwhelmed. He said, I forgot about the conference. I've never done anything like this. He said, I'm not sure what I should do. This is Saturday night. I said, I know what you should do. He said, what? We'll take him. He said, well, it's Monday. I said, I got the only church in America where I can get up on Sunday and say, we're having a conference on Monday. And I was like, we'll just do it. I told him what happened. He said, well, I don't know. I said, just pray. Whatever you need, we'll help you with. So he calls back. He says, can you do this? Can you come up and host him on, I think it was Tuesday? And I got to go down and take care of some stuff with my mom. I'll be gone that day. Can you kind of run the conference for me? I said, sure. Went out to lunch with Brother Marvin Smith. And I said, God told me to have you. He said, what for? I said, I have no idea. When are you open? He gave me some dates. I said, I'll take those. He said, what do you want me to do? I said, I have no idea. He says, so what? I said, I'm just trying to be obedient. God said to have you. And so I said, here's what's happening in our church, and here's kind of some stuff that's going on. As a church, God started this process of us cleaning out what's going on in our lives. People individually God just started working on people saying, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm not going to live a life trying to figure out how to live life with all this sin in my life and just try to not sin. I want to get rid of the desire. I want to just serve God. And God began to do this work. I said, I don't know what to do. He said, okay. He said, and gave me some dates, made it 2 days. And he came, we had a spiritual warfare conference. And man, 10 minutes into the conference, all of a sudden you just see the Holy Spirit. You just see it. Just come on the crowd. And God started just saying, you've got to deal with some things. You are in a war, and you don't even know you're in battle. And began to give us tools from the Word of God, how to help in spiritual warfare, and how to change the way we think, and how to live for God. And then we get, Brother Reasoner called me up and said, can we borrow your building? I'm having a prophecy conference. Brother Scheidbach. And I never heard of Brother Scheidbach before. I can't spell the name even to this day. Brother Scheidbach came, taught about prophecy, but he did something I'd never seen anybody do before. He didn't even talk about prophecy hardly. He just said, here's why God gave us prophecy. Here's what the prophecy said, and here's what we're supposed to do with it. Super practical. Taught us how to have dominion in our area. Now, this next year, I had an idea from 20 years ago, Acts 2020 vision. I couldn't wait for the year 2020 to come. This is in the 90s. I had this thing. Acts 2020 says, you know, we cease not to give you the word of God and present the gospel. Like that's our church, and I said, so I want to do this. And I started asking, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And it's just, I've learned sometimes when my idea isn't God's ideas. I prayed and I thought, where are we supposed to go? And I know where we're supposed to go. It's time for the next step. There's some things we're going to do. I'll mention it in a minute. I'm going to hand you a calendar so you'll know some of the plans for the year. But I want to tell you the direction we're going with this and why we gave the verse. And we're coming to the end, trust me. I'm just going to give you the verse and explain it to you real quick. But I want to tell you where we're going. You ready? The next step in our walk is a step down. We gave up our rights as a church to build our church and helped everybody else. And God said, I've been waiting for that. And God gave us the best year ever. Every angle you look at it, best year ever. I don't want to be guilty of saying, okay, well, God built the church. Let me give you 10 ways I did it. It's time for a step down. God said, if you'll humble yourself, I'll lift you up. If you'll give, you'll receive back. Press down, shaken over some men, give under your bosom. If you'll pray, believing I'll do something in secret, I'll reward you openly. Do you understand if we sit down and figure out all the works that we did? Works without prayer is pride. Let me say that again. Works without prayer is pride. We need God more this year than we needed Him last year. Let me do this. I'm going to hand out the calendars. We're talking about a few things we want to do this year. Can you get someone else to help you, Brother Myers? Let's grab someone to help you. Bill will help you right there. Bill? Bill's going to help you. And Elisha can help you, both of you. We've got a calendar. Show some of the events. I probably should have a calendar, too. Elisha, can you bring me one? Mr. White, you bring me one of those? Thank you so much. It's time that we step a little farther and do some more things that will stretch us beyond what we're able to do. And let me give you a couple of things we're looking at doing. Look on the calendar for September 12th. Can you just go in order if you know the months in order? See September 12th? It says, start Skyview North Church. I think it's time for us to start a church. See what we get out of it. Broke. I can't say his name right now. The one who starts churches and uses hotel room. I can't say. Gary, help me out. Stayed at your house. The guy who starts churches, I can't say it. You can't either. See? Between the two of us, we have half a brain. I can't say his name. Anyway, he's been starting church, doing a wonderful, wonderful job. And he's getting to the place where he's starting one a year, and they're self-supportive. I mean, the church runs and has enough to give a pastor to come in with a partial salary. And his churches that he started have all been doing very, very well. And we talked to him a little bit. He actually has a plan. And it says it costs between $20,000 and $40,000 to start a church is the cost. And doing the program, the plan he uses, and what it costs for printing, and it costs for websites and things like that. Azzarello, thank you, Brother Azzarello. There we go. I'm like, oh, we all know his name, and I love the guy. I've known him for many decades. But you know me, I forget your name. Doesn't matter who you are, Brother Azzarello. And it costs about $20,000 to $40,000 to get a church started. That's not upkeep. I'd like to start a church and raise it to be independent. I don't want a chapel. See, if you start a chapel, here's what happens. It gets big enough that eventually it kind of pays you back a little what you got into it, and it becomes beneficial. I'm not looking to get benefit. I'm looking to start an independent Baptist church separated from Skyview Baptist Church, started out as Skyview North Campus, and have Skyview Baptist Church. And when it gets able to be independent and God gives us a man of God to run it, then I want to say, you're on your own. Actually, I want to say, you're on your own. Don't call me. But I think we should. I think this is the year we need to start a church. I think we should do it in Salmon Creek. For lots of reasons. I'm not afraid of the Lord directing us in another place, but I believe we're supposed to go up in Salmon Creek. I'll tell you reasons by that as time goes on. I've asked Brother Myers. We've ordained Brother Myers as a pastor, and I said I'd like you to really be strongly invested in organizing the church. And I asked him and his wife to pray about maybe taking it. It may not be where God sent them. There's no call right now. God may keep them here or send them somewhere else. It doesn't really matter. We're going to start the church and turn it over to the man of God that God sends for that church. But I want to have a light up in Salmon Creek. Folks, that's 15 minutes north, 10 minutes if Gary's driving. 50 minutes north. That means this. Some of our people will go there. Ready for this? That's okay. Let me say that again. If God moves you, that's okay. Why? God has something else. He'll bring someone else here. That we're not going to grow another church if we're selfish. We're going to grow another church by giving. Now that means that as a church, we're going to have to raise some money. We're going to have to fund this thing. It means also that we're going to have to give of our time. That means if God brought you here, there's probably a reason. And it probably has to do with you getting busy. You ready for this? If you're super busy, you're probably the person. You find the busiest person in your church and give them a task to get done, it'll get done. You find the person who says, I got time, preacher, it ain't going to get done. Ain't going to get done? Isn't going to get done. So understand this. That means as a church, we're going to have to double up a little. That means that we're going to have services on a Saturday night, most likely. And then we'll turn around and have services on Sunday. We don't quit soul winning here. One of the big reasons you want to go to Salmon Creek, I'll tell you a little bit about church work, just a quick thing. You look at traffic patterns, okay? People in this area all travel south to Portland. So if you want to reach a population, you plant your church between that population and Portland, and they will come to your church. If you go from SR 500, okay, and you go down here to Mill Plain, people will come to your church. If you go to SR 500 and go the same distance to Salmon Creek, that's too far. Cross the river into Portland and see how many people will go across the 205 bridge to come here. It's 15 minutes. But they're not going to go 15 minutes that direction. When you go on vacation, I say, you go to the beach? Oh, yeah, we went to the beach. Where'd you go? Seaside, Lincoln City. I mean, all the Newport. You guys go to Oregon. If you're driving along and you zone off, you head south on the freeway. So you want to reach these small towns, Ridgefield. Battleground's getting to be a big town, but Battleground, La Center, Woodland, all these small towns. When you live in Woodland, where's Dan and Karen? Where are you? Where's Dan? Dan's preaching out of Karen. How far away do you live? What's the driving time? 50 minutes to an hour away, up on a mountain with ice and snow. And they're more faithful than almost anybody in this church. You say, why? They have to go an hour to buy bread. And to get from their house, you have to ride a water buffalo to the telegraph station. Exactly. No, but think about this. When you live up in those cities, you're used to traveling down into Vancouver. Nobody in Vancouver is going to go to church on the outskirts of Amboy. It ain't going to happen unless you're taking your gun and hunting afterwards. But you can reach the city of Amboy if you bring it to Vancouver. That's how people think. So where I-5 and 205 meet at the I-5 corridor right there, people will come from Woodland, Phillida, all those cities that are around there. They're willing to commute down to there. Now, when you build the church and you get ready to reach the great population, you're 15 minutes from anywhere in Portland. Or at 6:30 in the morning, you're 2 hours from anywhere in Portland. But if you pick the right time of day, you're 15 minutes from anywhere in Portland. That is a perfect place. Now, again, the Lord may lead us somewhere else, but I believe the Lord's leading us there. I've already talked to people. It's time for us to take the next step in being a blessing. What will we get out of it? Tired? Broke? And if God doesn't bless, nothing. It's called faith. If we do this and God blesses, we'll have to say, man, Pastor White, how'd you build that church? Let me tell you the secret. Ready? Go soul winning somewhere else and don't go soul winning for your own church. Give your money away. Help other pastors and don't take it for yourself. Start investing in other people who don't even go to your church. How does that work? I don't know. Will you grow the church that way? I don't know. I know this, it'll please God, and if the church grows, it's because God did it. Next year, we're taking the next step. If this church grows, it's because God does it. Ready for your verse? We're done. You'll know the verse. The verse James 4:10. In James 4:6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. This is the year we're not going to live for ourselves. We're going to live for what God says. You know what I think we need to do this year? We need to hire a staff member, a church staff member. See, how are we going to do it? We'll do it. See, well, are they going to be ready to go? Nope. Guess what I'm going to ask you to do? We're going to talk as a family here for just a second. I know we're late. You ready? I'm going to ask you to be spiritual enough to build them. I don't know a complete staff member who needs a job. If you're a complete ready-to-go staff member, you probably don't need to be an assistant pastor. If you come in as an assistant pastor, you're going to do some stupid things. And the church people will either gripe about you, attack you, rally against you, or they'll come behind you and they'll build you and they'll pray for you and they'll stand for you and they'll build you. That's your options. If we're going to grow as a church, we're going to have to be stellar staff builders. The interns taught me a big lesson. I'm thinking, I know how to produce. Give me these interns and I'll teach them how to produce. And I said to Brother Myers, he hires and fires, and I really don't know much about that, and he does a lot of that in his company, and he's pretty high up in that. I said, I'm going to ask you to be very directly overseeing them. Obviously, I have veto power, and we'll talk about what we're going to do, but I'm going to ask you to work with them. He began to work with them, and I'm going, they're kind of fussing with each other and having a tough time, and I might be able to get them to produce more. And Lord, I prayed about this. I think, and near the end, it was like, you ever seen Karate Kid? Wax on, wax off. He was setting them up. At the end, he says, now you know about yourself. We didn't hire you so you could give us people. We hired you so we could help you grow. And each one sat down. When he gave each one of them, here's what you did well. Here's where you can improve. Here's what I'd hire you for, and here's what I wouldn't hire you for. When I heard him doing that, I was burning up my pen. I was like, man, ooh, that was me. Are you talking about me? I was taking notes. I was like, wow. We hired staff to build them at the expense of our people. And our people rallied around them and built them. Everyone went back. Sharice, doing better than ever. Joy is doing better than ever. Lizzie left the country. And doing a phenomenal job as a missionary. They each got a tremendous amount of help and became better. What if God could use us to build staff? Well, if they promise to stay and sign a contract, nope. Let me tell you kind of how Skyview Baptist Church has worked in years gone by. You build them, you suffer, they make their mistakes, you're guinea pigs, and then they get really good, and God says, good, now I'm taking them away. Can I keep one of them? If we're going to take the next step, we have to become stellar at building staff. Staff. And helping people become the kind of people who can reach this area for Jesus Christ. This is the year we want to take the next step. Next step involves us not living for ourselves, but even it's a step down. This isn't about us anymore. At the end of the year, we don't need to evaluate, how did Skyview Baptist Church do? What we evaluate is, did you like it? You liked it? Good. God can evaluate how we did. Here's where your part is. Will you join me? You're taking a step down. You're going to give more money with less in return. More importantly, this year, you're going to give more prayer. That's not for yourself, but for others. We're going to bring people on staff and pay their salary for the sole purpose of building them to do a work for God. If they never do good for us, and they never help us out, and they never do this great job that we paid them to do, our job is to bring them on, say, God, who do you want us to put on? Put them on and build them. And God looks down and says, hey, if you're that faithful, I got some more for you. I got a couple more. You with me? So the question is then, will you take the next step down. We gave you a calendar. You see on here, taking the next step. You see Jesus Christ walking, and then you see right here someone in modern clothes stepping into the steps of Christ, following Jesus Christ. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You see on here the, all the conferences, everything. Put this on your refrigerator. You'll see it 4, 5, 6 times a day, and keep it so we know what we're doing. And I'm going to ask you to join me in the next step. In a second, I'm going to have an invitation. Here's the invitation. Will you agree to go with me as we take the next step down and allow God to do even more this next year? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I know it's an odd request, Lord, but I think it's a request you wanted us to have. You said to people, look, give everything away and then I'll give you something. You said to people, if you want to follow me, give everything up. Take up your cross. Then you can follow me. And Lord, today the invitation's an odd one. We're not saying get something for yourself. We're saying you gave a lot away. Yeah, let's give some more. Let's lose ourselves and take the next step down in our lives and let God come in and do a great work through us. Lord, would you bless us as we as a church commit ourselves to taking the next step in our walk with you? We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you stand to your feet, 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 name. Amen. If you stand to your